This is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy. Hello, today we're going to be speaking on, it's entitled, Against All Hope. Think about it, Against All Hope. The truth is, when things seem like, you know, you ever been to those places where it just seems like it just seems hopeless, you know, and we're going to understand through God's word and this teaching that as we just tap into some of the things that God does and how he does it, that it's where God does his best work. That's where he actually shows himself mighty. And it's where he gets all the glory and he gets all the credit for what's going on. It's where he just, his right arm moves and we just praise him for what he's doing. And so often, you know, we think that when we look at situations, we may look at the world today and so many things are happening in the world that's just upside down. And so many things are happening in America that are upside down. And it just seems like these people are turning against these people. And, you know, what's the outcome? I got news for you that against all hope, God moves and does his best work for those who actually have faith in him. I'm going to look at this. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's open up in prayer. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that you're faithful. I thank you, Lord God, that in the natural, and that when things seem barren or it may seem hopeless in how we see things, the truth is there's never been more hope because you are in control. I pray for each and every one that hears this message on VFN TV, Lord God, that you would just stir their hearts and their faith to encourage them to stand strong, knowing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And despite what we may see in our natural eye, in our heart's eye, in our spirit, in the eyes of our spirit, you stand strong and nothing moves you. You're not a man that you would lie or the son of man that you would change your mind. Your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, look at the text that we're going to be reading in this teaching or this talk is Romans chapter 4, verse 13. It reads, it was not through the law that Abraham, and we're talking about Abraham. The reason why we're going to talk about Abraham here is that he's the father of faith. He's the father of faith. He is the father of everybody who believes. Let me think about it. And so we want to understand that because we're saved, what, by faith and not by works. Everything that happens is through faith. So we're reading in verse 13, he says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. Is that awesome? Heir of the world. Think about it. Not just heir, but heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Think about that. Abraham is the heir of the world, not because he obeyed some laws, but because he had faith in what God said, that you would be a father of many nations, and you would be an heir to the world. Isn't that awesome? Just through faith, heir of the world. In verse 14, he says, for if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring. Say all, all. Think about that. The guarantee is by faith through Jesus Christ, just like it was for Abraham, by faith. Think about it. It comes by faith. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. Think about it. He is the father of us all, meaning this, that he was the first to have faith in God, and we later on, his offspring, have faith in God through Jesus Christ. And now he was the first, or the father of that, of faith. It's as it is written, verse 17, I have made you a father of many nations. Think about it. Him, he couldn't even have a child. We're going to talk about that. And he says, I've made you a father. You know, so many people struggle with, you know, that God's called me to be a spiritual mother. God's called me to be a spiritual father. And there's a time span between what you see in the natural and what you see manifest in the spiritual. And a lot of people don't understand that there's a time of testing, that you're walking by faith in what God's going to do. And at a certain point, and how he does his best work is when you hold on. We're going to find out in our faith, knowing that this is what God wants, this is what God said, and this is what God's going to do. I mean, think about it. He says, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things into being things that were not. I mean, he calls things that are not. I mean, he's an awesome God. And this is verse 18. This is what I'll talk about. Against all hope, our father Abraham, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became exactly what God said he had become. Let me say that again. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was 100 years old. It's like, you know, children, I'm 100, you know. And then he says, and then think about Sarah, his wife, he even faced the fact that her womb was as good as dead. You know, she's in her 90s. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was accredited to him as righteousness. The words, it was accredited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us. It's for us as well. To whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. Think about that. I mean, Abraham, against all hope. I mean, he's 100 years old, and he hadn't had a child yet, and God said, you're going to be a father. Think about it. 100 years old, his wife's in her 90s, right? And her womb is as good as dead. His body was as good as dead. Yet God is saying this, and even though he actually looked at the facts, and it's so important that when God's not telling us to deny the reality of what is, I mean, he wants us to look at the place of, in the natural sense, of the hopelessness of this thing coming to pass. And in the midst of all that, he wants us to believe him for what he said, so that when he does what he does and he moves and does his best work, all we can say is, look what God did. That so many people don't move in faith. They move in the law or what they can see, and they don't understand. So they give up and they waver in their faith. They waver in unbelief, not realizing that God's not working in your abilities. God's working in his abilities. He's actually waiting till your abilities run out so he can actually show himself mighty, because quite often what happens when we are moving in our abilities until we mature in our faith walk, quite often we take credit for what God is doing. It's a tendency of human nature. How you know that is that when you can't do it anymore, you get really sad and you start feeling hopeless and you start thinking it's over. And it's like, it was God all along. Yeah. How is it you now? How did that happen, right? So against all hope, you know, think about this. Facing the facts, he looked at the very facts. And don't think you're not a person of faith if you look at your checkbook and you go, oh, wow, you know, need some help. You know, you look at your family who's going through a struggling time. You go, yeah, that's right, but God, right? You look at your work situation and you go, I don't have a job, or I'm not getting paid enough to be able to take care of these bills, or whatever it may be, or it looks like my job may be coming to an end, that you still look at the facts. You don't try to hide that from, but you don't hold on to the facts. You hold on to your faith. There's two different types of hope. Against all hope, in the natural sense, Abraham in hope, which is faith hope, he held on to God. So he's not saying he didn't have any hope. It's the natural form of hope, things that you actually see in his own body. Faith is being, Hebrews 11:1 lets us know this, that faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. He was sure what God had said to him would come to pass, and he was hopeful and knowing and certain that, that what he didn't see would happen in his life despite all of his surroundings and the condition of his body. We're talking about being against all hope. We have to understand this because right before God starts to do his best work and deliver his people, it's the darkest moment. It's going to be at the darkest moment. It's going to be at the moment that looks like it's all over. It has to get to that point, because if it doesn't get to that point, somebody's going to take credit for it. And so it has to get to the point where everybody goes, we're at the end of ourselves. You know, God goes, finally. And then he does his awesome work because he loves us. And boom, he does that and he shows himself. We go, did you see God? He goes, that was me. I mean, you think about it. And so if we don't understand how God works, we'll start looking at our 100-year-old situation, our 96-year-old partner, and start thinking it's over. There's no way this could come to pass. And we give up on the dreams of God and the vision that God had given us to be able to bring to pass what he was going to do. We got to realize it doesn't matter what the conditions are. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. It just matters, are we obeying God on the journey? On our journey, and each of us have a personal journey, and we'll talk about that later, that how are we responding to God on this journey? Are we wavering in our faith? And so these things start happening in the natural sense that bring us to a place against all hope in the natural sense to shake our faith. It's to test our faith to see, you know, we're going to talk more about that as well, but understand that there's a process that we go through. We call life and our life's journey, and God, you know, gives this man a vision, but he's going to take him through a process of testing his faith. Does he have faith in God, or does he have faith, you know, in himself in the process? And you watch people who genuinely hear from God, but then they start the processes, and you look at them, it's like, oh my goodness, that's a rough situation. And what happens is they're actually trying to fulfill in the natural sense what God actually is going to do in the spiritual. And so they start getting to the end of themselves. They start running down. They got all this stuff going crazy, and they start throwing their hands up. I quit. I quit. It's like, you quit? I didn't know you ever started. I thought you were sleeping when he gave you the dream. How are you trying to keep it to pass now? I thought it was a prophet that walked up and prophesied to you and confirmed it. Why are you trying to do, you know, think about it? It was God all along, wasn't it? It was God. And so God told Abraham, get thee up and go, and I will show you, and I will make you a father of many nations. That was God's plan being revealed to Abraham, right? And that's what God does. God reveals what his plan is, and we are going to allow God to lead us on the journey of bringing that plan to pass. So Abraham wasn't fearful to face the facts. I think about Brother Kim, my spiritual father, that during the faith movement, when we were all maturing in the faith movement, years ago, that, you know, they said you just couldn't face the facts. You just had to just don't even talk about the facts. Just, you know, just say you're healed, or whatever. And he was out teaching one day, and he had driven there to be able to teach. He was teaching on a stage. He stepped on something when he was teaching. He fell and he injured himself, and he broke a rib. And he finished preaching while he was talking, but he was going like, I'm healed to himself. And he goes, boy, it hurts. And it's not wrong. You know, and it's almost a relief if you understand that you can look at your facts and you can say, I know what you see, but my God is not a man that he will lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. And it's okay to be able to say, you know, I broke a rib, but God's going to heal me. That I'm going through a tough time physically, but God's going to heal my body. That my relationship's on the rocks, but guess what? I serve a God who's going to take me off the rocks. That I have a ministry being birthed inside of me, and you're going to see it unfold in due season. That God's made me a spiritual father, a spiritual mother. I'm going to be a VFN church leader. I'm going to be a shepherd of God's people, whatever it is. You know, I'm going to be attending VFNU one day. You know, and as God brings that to pass and takes us on this journey. And so, we have to be willing to look at the impossible circumstances of life. I mean, just look at the impossible circumstances of life and say, you know what? I still believe that God is going to bring to pass the vision that he had given me. That's it. I mean, think about it. When you look at Joseph, for example, you know, and it's over and over again, but let's just take Joseph, how God speaks to him, and, you know, Genesis 37, you know, he starts talking to him. He just goes to sleep. And God gives him the vision in his sleep. And when he gives him the vision, he literally just shows him, you know, some wheat, you know, bowing down, his brother's wheat, bowing down to his wheat. That's it. I mean, basically, that was as much that was going to happen. Then the next one was the moon. But it was just, there was no details to it other than the fact that that was going to happen. And we find out that, wow, that means God's probably spoken to you many times. And maybe you wrote it off and you thought, well, since God didn't give me any details, that must not be God. Instead of, you know, I'm going to lock into what God told me. I saw it. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to believe God despite my circumstances. I'm going to believe God without wavering in my faith, being fully persuaded that God is able to do what he said he's going to do. Against all hope, I'm going to believe and so become what God said. And so we're going to find out here with Joseph is that God gives a man a vision and then he destroys the man. Not the literal sense, but destroys the man's ability and sometimes even desire to bring it to pass. You think about Moses. By the time that God got ready for Moses, when Moses first got the call, you know, Moses is going to like, I'm going to free these Jews up and I'm going to get them out of here. And his first attempt at ministry, his first VFN church plant, he killed everybody. And so he buried that church in the sand and he moved to the next one. He started again. I mean, think about it. He buried two of his first people trying to defend the Jews. He killed two other people, two soldiers, right? And so then he ended up, so I think my next church plant's going to be way away from here. So he starts running for his life. And he runs on the backside of the desert. And he gets to a point where, you know, it's been 40 years. He doesn't even have a desire anymore. He's not even thinking about it. He was the most highly educated man, but this time he actually stuttered. And God shows up and says, "You're ready for it. You're totally ready for it." And he's like, "I don't think you know." And that's how he's talking. He's stuttering. And he didn't. He was all hyped up in the beginning, but after the process, how God does things and how he brings a man to the end of himself and his abilities, and sometimes even his desires, because desire ends quite often when one man has his trust in his own abilities. It's amazing how quickly you see that those two come to an end. But when a man has his trusted faith in God, it doesn't shake, because he never had faith in their abilities in the first place. So that's the people that have faith in their abilities look at other people who have faith in God, and they go, man, you're really smart. And somebody who just moves by faith says, no, actually, I'm just listening to God and obeying God. I hear and I obey. And so notice this is important, because God gives a man a vision. He destroys the man, or really destroys his own personal abilities or even his desire. And then he brings forth the vision that God has given him. You know, against all hope, there at some point in these processes, you know, it's like, hey, this is against all hope. I'm going to have to believe her. So Joseph gets this dream. I'm going to think about it. The wheat's bowing down. His brother's wheat's bowing down to his. The moon's bowing down. And all of a sudden he shares it with his family. Isn't that exciting when you get to share with your family, you know, what God is saying? And they're the first one that begins the process of killing you, right? You know, what do they say? His brothers, they hated him. They hated him for the thought of them having to humble themselves. Before they were so prideful, the thought of them actually bowing down to their brother Joseph, and Joseph is just sharing his dream or his vision that God had given him, and all of a sudden you just have haters all of a sudden, right? Yeah, all of a sudden, so where does that come from, you know? And the process begins. Say, the process begins. This is important because, you know, God's wanting to use you. God has a plan for your life. Maybe God's already given you a dream, a vision. You know, maybe, you know, you're a significant part of the VFN family and what God's called you to do to be able to win a city for him. Maybe to be a pastor of a church. Maybe to go into a new country, a new state, a new city. I mean, to be able to advance his kingdom. But he just gave you how it's going to be in the future. But you got to understand, now that you got it, you know, don't brace yourself. Let go of yourself. You know, don't brace yourself. Just let go of yourself. You know, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow the Lord, and allow God to begin to work out his processes. So the first thing that happens, he shares his vision, and they reject him. He's rejected by his brothers. Literally, he's sold out. I mean, they hated him so bad that they got together and they were thinking about killing him. They were just going to kill him. They actually put him in a hole, a pit in the ground, a well that was dry, and they're sitting there having a meeting, his brothers are, and he's saying, you know, we can kill him like this, and they're talking back and forth. Well, Dad's going to be upset. You know, Dad really loves Joseph, and it's like, I just had a vision. What's wrong? Are we going to kill me, right? And so many times, people lose hope when they start seeing themselves go through these processes. And believe me, there's a lot of Job's comforters that sit there and tell you how bad it is while you're going through the process of betrayal and all these different things. And so instead of killing him, you know, thank you, brothers. I won't cast my pearls before you anymore. Instead of killing him, they decided, you know what? Here come some Egyptians. Let's just go ahead and just sell him into slavery. And that was a relief. Think about it. Okay, we're not going to kill you. We're just going to sell you into slavery. You're going to work for the Egyptian masters right there. And so they actually sold him into slavery. So now here he is. Yeah, first God spoke to him. He shared it. He was rejected by his family. They were going to kill him. No, they're going to sell him into slavery. And now he hears, he's like on the chain gang, you know, in the hot sun of Egypt, you know, and he's working hard and doing whatever the master tells him to do. And it's like, this is a process. Think about it. This is a pro. Wouldn't you say that's against all hope? I mean, think about it. You know, it's like, if I ever hear about that vision again, you know, think about it. When he first started talking about what God had told him, at this point, it's just brought him turmoil. It's brought division, divisiveness. It split up the family. It blew everything apart. You know, murder plots were plotted against him because of jealousy. And now he's actually in a place of slavery. I mean, you got to really think about this. If we don't understand that against all hope, in hope we can believe, that we can give up hope in those times. We could say, you know what? I don't want to ever hear about that vision again. Because we're thinking that the vision is what caused the pain. But what it is God gives us the vision, and then the pain is the process we have to go through so that our faith is increased, so that when we come into the promised land, we're ready to fight giants. You can't skip the process. Remember Saul, King Saul, skipped the process, didn't he? He went straight from hiding behind the luggage one day to being king the next day. And what happened? He failed. God regretted that he ever made him king. But David went through the process. What was the process? Hey, I'm going to anoint you king, go back to work, you know, obey your father. He is rejected by his brothers. He gets there, he plays music. He has no problem being humble and serving the king, honoring the king. But then all of a sudden Saul begins to chase him, trying to kill him, and all these things are going on. What's that? It's called process. And so you think about that. So here he is, now he's a slave. I mean, come on. Against all people, you know, Americans, we're complaining about not getting a benefits package. You know, it's embarrassing. We're the top 3% of the world, you know, and it's just like, oh my goodness. But you know, I mean, it's real for us. We're feeling those feelings and stuff. And so then he's already a slave, and all he did was get a vision from God and shared it with somebody. Think about it. You know, plain as day, that a lot of people say, you know, I'm not going to bring that up anymore, because every time I bring that up, I go through process. Not understanding that process was the process of bringing to pass the very thing that God said he was going to do in your life. Against all hope is where God does his best work. And so here he is in slavery, and you think, well, it's got to be bad. You know, I'm in slavery, and next thing you know, that Potiphar sees, you know, him, the blessings on his life. You know, he's a good slave. And so he brings him in to be the slave to manage his house for him. So here he is, you know, now he's actually having to manage somebody's house and go through all these processes of managing the house. And so even while he's going through that, he remains faithful to God through this whole process. He doesn't waver in his faith in God. Think about it. Despite all the natural circumstances, he's not going to say, I'm not a slave. I mean, it ain't going to work, is it? It's like, I'm a slave, but God, you know. I'm going through tough times, and these things are happening to me, and my brothers have betrayed me. And all this was happening to him because he had a dream. And so here he is working as a slave in Potiphar's house. And now he gets accused of a sexual crime. He gets accused, arrested, and charged and sentenced to rape. He's on the sexual predators list, you know. He is in jail for sexually assaulting, that he didn't do, Potiphar's wife. I mean, you could Google him. He comes up, as, you know, there's Joseph's picture on the predators list. He didn't do it, but there he is. How many people go, yeah, I knew Joseph. I knew that wasn't a dream. Think about it. That's what's happening to him, right? And so he goes to jail. Not only gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife because she wanted to sleep with him, he didn't want to sleep with her. He said he didn't want to sin with God, and so he just took off, and she lied because she was a scorned situation. And she went and told Potiphar what happened, and he said, okay, guilty. Isn't that something? So here he is in jail. In jail. He's in jail. No, he's in slavery. He's on the sexual predators list. He's serving time for a sexual crime he didn't commit. Think about it. And he's in jail. I mean, you can watch him on Locked Up on one of those shows. It goes like, there's Joseph. Yeah, he said he didn't do it, right? And so then you think about it. And then so he's running the jail, and then all of a sudden there's a cupbearer to the king and a baker to Pharaoh that's there. And they're there because they were accused of a crime, and they were given a dream. And Joseph still was faithful wherever he was. He just moved in his gifts, and he submitted his gifts to God, and he gave glory to God, and they knew that he could actually... He heard about the dream. He says, I know God, and God can give me the interpretation of those dreams. And he basically interprets the dream, and he says, don't forget me. And, of course, they forgot him. And one ended up dead, and the other one ended up alive and being there for Pharaoh. But it was all in God's plan, because the cupbearer was the innocent one. And just like the dream was said, you know, this is what happens. And God was setting up Joseph at just the right time to bring to pass the very vision that he gave him way back when he got up that morning over some eggs and grits or whatever, you know, for our family that's up north, and some potatoes or something, I guess. And so, yeah, some cream of wheat. And so, you think about it. And so then it went from that to now here he is in jail. And all of a sudden, one day they're knocking at the jail cell, and they said, hey, is Joseph here? And said, yeah, I got him running the wing, the left wing of the prison over here. And so we understand that the cupbearer said that he interpreted the dream right, and Pharaoh has a dream. Can you come and try to... As they clean Joseph up, they bring him up there. Look at that. It's just happening, isn't it? It's just happening. I mean, if you don't understand, if you don't know about this, you can read about it. But he goes in there, he interprets the dream for Pharaoh. Long story short, Pharaoh puts him second in charge of all of Egypt. And he begins having the wisdom of God, you know, to be able to do what he needed to do, to be able to help Egypt get through that. And God was going to use Egypt to bring Israel out. And so all that was happening because God was going to bring to pass his vision. But first, he had to take him through the process. And the process is always, just like Abraham, when everything in our natural abilities are good as dead. So many people give up when they look at their own wombs and they look at their own bodies and they look at their own finances. And it's like, come on, church. It's not you. It's God. Don't quit. Come out here. Let's believe God together. Your jail cell will be right by my jail cell. And we'll be going, praise God. Hallelujah. Just like with Peter and Silas, all of a sudden an earthquake comes and the gate opens up and the jailer gets saved. And understand these processes of God, it's always going to be against all hope. I'm going to look at Paul and on and on and on. If we don't understand this, as soon as it looks like it's against all hope in the natural sense, you may throw your hands up and leave your brother and sister in the field, in the harvest field, and think that God wasn't going to use you, but you're actually getting prepared for use because you were going through the process and being prepared. That's why we need each other. We need people that have gone through some stuff, you know. We need some people that limp. You know, I don't trust a man who don't limp. Those guys who just get the dream, they're like, I'm pumped, I'm excited. It's like, okay, cool, great, okay, hold my hand. Well, I don't need to hold no hand. It's like, yeah, you do, you need to hold my hand. It's going to be rough. About 90 days later, it's like, oh, can I come hold your hand for a moment, you know? Because process happens, you know, it's who we are. And so, but you can imagine that during this slavery and being accused of a sexual offender, let's think about it, he's in there for rape. He didn't do it. He's, you know, in the prison in bondage. He's in bondage in bondage. He's already in slavery, but now he's in jail in slavery. I'm like, wouldn't you think that somebody would say, "Hey, Joseph, don't you have a vision? I got some ideas, Joseph, about how to bring up past your vision." I mean, that's a real tough testing time for somebody, isn't it? It's like, are you talking about what you don't even know? Are you offering your advice to me? You know, I mean, he made it through without getting offended. Think about it. That's huge. Because there were so many opportunities to get offended. And somebody says, well, I can't believe that you speak to me that way. It's like, you don't understand process. You don't understand that when somebody's locked down, they're going through physical turmoil, they're going through restraint in their finances, they're going through these processes because God is preparing them for something that's going to go on. We don't need to be Job's comforters during that time. We need to say, listen, you know, God is with you, you know, and anything, sometimes you just got to be quiet. Or we need to say, what can I do for you? You know, because sometimes we can say, get me some water. But one time for Paul to Timothy, it was like, can you just get me a coat? I don't even have a coat. It's cold in here and everybody's pretty much left me. Can you bring me a coat? I mean, nobody wants to hear why you're locked up in jail. It's like, hey, you know, you're going to be, it's like, I'm in jail right now. Let's just hold on. See the jail cell, see the bars, see the facts. Let's just give me a moment. Give me a moment to digest this. It's a good word because we're going to have to go through the processes of being against all hope in the natural sense to make sure that our hope is in God to be able to bring it to pass. And so I'm sure you go through times when I think about, you know, Joyce Myers, when she talked about years ago that she'd drive, she may still do it every time to time, but she drove past her ministry and she just stuck her tongue out at it and kept on going. You think about it. If you truly are going and being prepared for what God is doing, and there's some times you're like, I wish I would have never brought that up. You know, you kind of go through those times of testing. But it's okay to come to the end of yourself. That's what you should have done to begin with. It's okay for us to come to the end of ourselves. And just watch, okay, I'm facing the fact that my body's as good as dead and her womb is as good as dead, but guess what? God. I'm not going to waver in my faith. I believe that God's able to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Isn't that cool? That's exactly how God works. It's called faith. And so the wisdom of God was so present, you know, in Genesis 50:20, you see it, that Joseph knew exactly what to say when his brothers who betrayed him came up to be able to get some food from him because he stored up all this food. You know, if we weren't right, if we didn't go through the process right, we may say something, we may be sarcastic, cynical, we may be judgmental, we may be critical, we may be hateful, but his brothers came up and he was able to say right there in the presence of his brothers that what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. And we got to differentiate between that. Yeah, they do mean it for evil. Yeah, they're deceived. Yeah, you know, they're lying. You know, Potiphar's wife was lying through her teeth. But you know what? God meant that. God wanted to be able to get that situation where one day the cupbearer and the baker are going to be right there by who had the cupbearer had the ear of Pharaoh, and God had the ear of everybody, and he was going to give a dream at a certain time to Pharaoh that nobody else could get. At the very same time, he was going to give a dream to the cupbearer and the baker, and Joseph was going to be right there to interpret that dream. And at just the right time, he was going to remind the cupbearer who had the ear of the Pharaoh that Joseph interprets dreams, and it was just like clockwork. If we're walking around offended, if we're walking around, it'll never happen because I'm at the end of my, I don't know how this is going to happen. It's like, come on. Come on, this is God. If God said he's going to do it, you don't waver in your faith. Just believe him. Just believe him. God's made a covenant with us. And it seems that Joseph knew this before its time, or he understood God. The covenant's Romans 8:28. He says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." That's a covenant. What does that mean? When God calls you out and he gives you a vision, maybe he said he's shown you got 20, 30 churches inside of you. You know, maybe you have a whole nation inside of you. Maybe you know, tell them what you have inside of you, you know, whatever it is. But understand this, that this process is orchestrated and allowed by God, and he's going to work it all together for your good because you're called according to his purposes. He made a covenant with you. He didn't get offended. It's just so easy to get offended. I mean, think about it. I mean, our air conditioner goes out and we get upset. You know, our car breaks down, or we're just so blessed in this culture. It's just really, it doesn't take much. You know, somebody doesn't get like anchovies on their pizza and they're upset. You know, I don't know. I have no idea what it might be. But think about it. He didn't bite the bait of Satan. And the bait of Satan is what? It's to be offended. The trap, the offense, to get offended by it. And he had so many chances to be offended. So many chances to be offended. And so he didn't allow himself to be taken over by evil. But he forgave his brothers. He forgave them. He didn't hold it against them. Listen, he didn't deny the fact that is what happened. He said, listen, what you meant for evil. It's, don't go over and go like, I can't acknowledge the very fact that I was shot by somebody. I mean, it's okay to say, but I want you to know that I don't hold it against you, that I forgive you for that. He understood that you're supposed to bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. That's what Jesus said. These are the sons of God, right? The ones that bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. It's very important to know that we're going to have to, in this process, okay, now the jailer, now the slave master, now Potiphar's wife, now the cupbearer that forgot me, now my brothers who betrayed me. And all these times of testing, right? I mean, think about it. James chapter 1, verse 2, he tells us, he says, if we understand the processes of God, then we can understand what James is talking about, the brother of Jesus right here, that he says, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, and it's all about not wavering. Yeah, I know my circumstances. Yeah, I know what's going on. But God, I still trust God. I still trust God. Because you know the testing of your faith produces something. It produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work. In other words, just keep going through the process like Joseph did, like Abraham did. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. These things are going to come against us because it's testing our faith. And our faith is what we offer to God. It's the precious commodity that's talked about in the Word of God. I mean, think about this. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3. Understand that these things are happening to us and they're being allowed by God. Yes, people are meaning evil by it, possibly. They're believing a lie or whatever, and they're buffeting against you and your circumstances, your finances, your life, your business, whatever. But God is allowing that to happen. And in that, God wants to know one thing. Do you still have faith in me? Did you throw the vision out the window? Are you cursing me? Are you blessing me? Are you shutting up and no longer telling people about me? Or do you still have the same testimony about me through the process of God? Right? Do you state the facts and say, but God? Or do you talk about God and you say, but circumstances? It's a big difference. And so he says, against all hope, in hope he believed. And so there's two kinds of hope. One's the natural hope, the body was as good as dead, and one is hope in God. That's what he believed in. And hope comes through the processes. You get stronger and stronger through the processes. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, he says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering. I mean, I gotta tell you about that. I mean, it's just really not easy to do, to rejoice in your suffering. Is it easy for you? I mean, it's not easy for me. And you think, you know, I thought I did really good the last time. Why am I getting another chance? You know, it's like, this is like another trip around the suffering mountain. It's like, come on, God, I'm smiling this time. We're going to do it. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm so sorry. I bless all my enemies. I bless them all. I'm going to send money to everyone. Yeah, it's like one man is like, dude, I don't know what, God just keeps blessing me. What happens? He says, I just keep on getting $100 bills in the mailbox. It's like, oh, somebody's upset with you. Okay. And he's trying to, you know, bless those who curse you. And so he says in Romans 5, 3 through 5, he says, but we also rejoice in our suffering. Consider it pure joy, remember? When you suffer trials of many kinds. Joy, pure joy, not diluted joy, not like 90-10 joy. I meant like pure 100% grade A joy. Like, woohoo, look at me. My life's falling apart. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my family's all over the map. I've lost my house. I got a notice. I'm getting kicked out of my house today. I'm being falsely accused of a sexual crime. Woo-hoo, this is great. Joseph, calm down, calm down. Think about it. Consider it pure joy. This is real stuff. This is real stuff. He says, because we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Remember, we talked about that earlier in James. Perseverance, character. And character, what? Hope. You see, against all hope, the natural form of hope, in hope, what, that came through all of his trials and his sufferings and his mistakes. You know, remember, he slept with the maid and had the baby, Hagar, had a child, Ishmael, and all these situations happened through all those processes. You know, he still held on to God through all that. And it produced in him a hope that didn't disappoint. He says, and this is a hope that doesn't disappoint us. So these processes prepare us, because in our sufferings, our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Listen, we need some character. It's amazing. You know, one day, by God's grace, you know, we're going to have a character boot camp. I mean, it's literally going to be a place that we can actually hone our character. You know, it may be, we got some different concepts about that, but, you know, we just believe one day it's going to happen, because we live in a culture with no character. It's like Crete. You know, when Paul went to Crete, you know, you hear Paul talk about, man, they're a bunch of liars, right? And he was talking about, you know, they didn't keep the word. They lied to him. And it was just no character in Crete. And so we've come into a place that we need some character. But where does character come from? It comes from going through something. You're not going to have character if you don't stick to that job. You're not going to have character if you don't start listening to your parents. If every time your parents ask you to do something and you want to go do something different, you don't persevere through that discipline or that responsibility or doing that chore or whatever it is, it's just not going to happen for you. If you don't persevere as a parent and as a husband, you know, you're not going to get any character as a husband. I mean, you're going to have to persevere through something. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope, and it's hope that doesn't disappoint. It's the hope that we can hold on to, because when you go through everything and all the suffering and the trials and the false accusations and the betrayals, and you still love God through all of that. I mean, think about it. Your hope is solid. You have a solid hope in God, and there's something special about that. We'll talk about that. And he said, remember, Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Think about it. He didn't waver through unbelief. And he was even strengthened in his faith. Think about that. And gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power. Did you know that? God's got power. He's got power. But he wants us to know that and have faith in that. He was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. All the glory is God's, and God wants what's his, which is all the glory. And we need to know that God shares his glory with no one. with no one. But it's okay. It's all his. It's him, the one. He's the one that's doing it. Turn to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. This is good because I want to help you understand that even if this is a point in your life that you feel like it's against all hope, it's like, you know, I can't find hope at here, home. I can't find hope in my relationships. I can't find hope in my workplace. I can't find hope in my nation. And you're thinking, man, this is against all hope. Let me tell you something. That's when God does his best work, if you don't waver in your faith. 1 Peter, and this is what's going on. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the greatest hope of all that we have, that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Let me tell you something. You have an inheritance waiting for you in heaven. Streets of gold, mansions, no more tears, no more pain, no more sickness, no more disease. Think about it. Oh my goodness. I don't know if you read the book 90 Minutes in Heaven, but it's a man's testimony, a minister's testimony, where he had died in a car accident and he went to heaven for about 90 minutes. You know, heaven was so awesome, and he never made it into the gates. He was just outside the gates, but he heard the sound of heaven. And he's like, the sound just travels through your body. And it's just, he says, I miss the sound of heaven. It was beautiful outside. Everything was just, oh my, think about it. That this is what you have in store for you. Above all else, that's where our faith is, in what God has prepared for us to live with God forever as the bride of Christ, who through faith are shielded by God's power. There it is. God's going to protect you by a shield of his power. But you know what that shield is? The shield is what? A faith. Right? You remember Ephesians chapter 6? The sword of the Spirit, but the shield of faith. See, the faith, it's all without wavering in your shield, without wavering in the fact that that you always believe that you're shielded. Even though I'm going through these circumstances, God's not letting more come against me that I can't bear, because he knows what's going on. He's not going to let me be tempted more than I can bear. He's not going to bring me through something. He's not going to bring me into something or allow me to go into something that he's not going to bring me out of, and I'm going to be stronger because of it. I mean, think about it. It's pretty powerful. And that shield, he protects us by his power, that shield, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last days. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs and all kinds of trials. So we got, oh yes, streets of gold and an inheritance that doesn't perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven, ready to be revealed on the last days. He says, but for now I understand that you're going to have to go through grief and basically trials of many kinds, right? So why is he bringing that up? Look what he says next. This is what's happening. Remember, Abraham is the father what? Of faith. And he's the father of those who believe and are saved by faith. Verse 7. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may be proven genuine. Think about that. What does that mean? There's a lot of people that's got some dead faith. They have non-genuine faith. They have faith in money. They have faith in the nation that they live in. They have faith in relationships that they have. They have faith in their political system. They have faith in their talents. But they don't have faith in God. They have faith in the provision, but as soon as the provision stops, so does their faith. They have faith in their job, but as soon as their job stops, so does their faith. It's like, where's God in all this? Think about it. He says, these things have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result what? In praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The only thing that we're going to have to be able to offer him is that when our back was against the wall. Listen, you got to understand, get your eyes off of people. Understand this is between you and God, and this is your chance to shine for God. When everything, your back is against the wall, against all hope, you're going to believe God. And that belief, just imagine just this huge nugget of gold that you're going to be able to give to God and say you're going to be able to present that as genuine reliance and trust that God was able to do what he actually said he could do. I mean, if your back is never against the wall, you never had to believe God for anything. If everything was given to you, and that's what's happening with today's generation and today's society, it's just this entitlement type thing. It's like, look, they don't have faith in God. They have faith in government. They have faith in political systems. They have faith in witchcraft and manipulation. They have faith in their abilities to be able to manipulate somebody, to cause them, to give them what they want. Let me tell you what the end of that is. That's dead faith. The end of that is death, hell, and the grave. But faith in God, that's what saves you. And faith in his finished work on the cross of Christ, understanding that the reward, yeah, is in heaven. But now is when we actually, the testing of our faith, you know, I'm going to hold on to my faith in God. If everything leaves me, I'm not going to leave God. Everything left Joseph. And they got worse and worse and worse. So it's a proving of our faith. It's the genuineness. Our faith becomes genuine. It's like, I don't want to go through nothing. It's like, dude, you want to prove your faith. You want to go through that process, you know? You want to know that you know. You know what I'm saying? You want to know that you can go through something. You know, and it's really tough for this particular generation, but I don't think it's going to be tough really soon. Because we're so blessed. We have so many comfort things that to go through something is just really ridiculous what people complain about, you know? And I hope it counts. you know? You have people going like, you know, I was really struggling today with the traffic jam. Really? Really? You were struggling your faith over a traffic jam? Why people are wondering if they're going to have food tonight on their plates? You know, where they don't know where they're going to, their churches, where they gather at, it's not going to be burned down, where their pastor's going to be put in prison for refusing to renounce Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I mean, think about this pastor. Right now, there's a pastor that's several, many of them, but one of them that we know about that's in jail in Iran right now, and they're saying, listen, we want you to renounce Jesus Christ. Long story short, I mean, he's not doing it. But you know what? Wow, right? Wow. The whole world is hearing about the awesomeness of Jesus Christ because his faith is being tested. That's genuine faith. That's genuine faith. When your family's being threatened, they're saying, we're going to kill you. They put his attorney in jail for 8 years for representing him. And the attorney's a Christian. Think about it. Is that beautiful in the context of understanding now? It's like, well, it's not beautiful that our brother's in jail. We want to pray that he gets released, but in the context that Joseph went to jail, you know, what he's going to have, and I pray that he gets out today and that it ends well, but understand this, it will end well. He'll be highly, highly have something awesome to be able to show God. I mean, think about it. Over and over again, in Scripture, and I'm not going to talk about it, just think about it, just a few things. Over and over again, we find out that against all hope, when the natural sense of things ended, think about it. When Adam and Eve, I mean, here they were created by God, right? By God, I mean, it's got to be good. They're stolen with God in the evening of the garden in the evening time. But Adam and Eve, when they were kicked out of the garden, it looked like it was over in the natural sense. You think about it. I think God just threw me out of the house. You know, so like, we can't, you think, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Looks like it's over, right? Think about that. Or when the earth flooded for 40 days and 40 nights, and dead bodies and animals are all over the place. I mean, it looked like it was over in the natural sense. Wouldn't you think it looked like it was over in the natural sense? When Joseph was sold into slavery, how could this be? It looks like it was over in the natural sense. There's no way Then my brothers, who betrayed me to make sure they would never bow down to me, they sold me into slavery so I would be nowhere around them. That was their whole goal. Their whole goal was, I'll make sure this prophetic word does not come to pass in your life. I will actually put you into slavery away from us. And little did we know. Well, anyway, so even with Hannah, think about Hannah. She had a barren womb and she was crying out to God and she couldn't have any children. It just looked like it was totally over for her in the natural sense. Or when Israel was caught between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, I mean, here they were. They went with God. They followed Moses, but now they were stuck. The army's coming. They had this huge Red Sea behind them. I mean, it looked like it was over. I mean, against all hope. Think about it. Against all hope. Or when God's government was rejected by Israel and they didn't want Samuel anymore, but they wanted a king like everybody else. It looked like it was totally over in the natural sense. Or when King Saul was chasing David, who was anointed by God to be the next king, was trying to kill him over and over again. It looked like it was actually over in the natural sense. Or when Saul in the New Testament was setting out to be able to kill and imprison believers, and he's going house to house, dragging believers out of their houses to imprison them and kill them and stone them, and Stephen's blood is spread on the streets. It looked like it was over in the natural sense. Think about it. When the Roman soldiers were nailing Jesus to the cross at the order of the chief priest, it looked like it was over in the natural sense. They're killing Jesus. And when Abraham's body, as good as dead, and Sarah's womb, as good as dead, it seemed like it was over in the natural sense. But God, it's how God works. When are we going to get this? This is how He works. It's when God does His best work. Against all hope, we serve this God who loves you and has a plan for your life, who calls things that are not as though they were and then they become. A God who cannot lie. If God said this is how it's going to be and He revealed it to you and your brothers are going to bow down to you or this is going to happen, it's going to happen like God said. We serve a God who all of His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. When it seems against all hope, understand in hope you can believe that God is going to accomplish what He set out to do. I mean, think about it. When Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, it looked like it was over in the natural sense, but God had a plan of redemption in His mind. It wasn't over. It wasn't over. When the earth flooded for 40 days and 40 nights, it looked like it was over in the natural sense, but God revealed, think about this, God reserved for Himself Noah and his family to fulfill His promises that a Redeemer would come through Abraham or Adam's bloodline. Think about it. When Joseph was sold into slavery, it looked like it was over in the natural sense, but God used the evil ways of men's heart to work out His will to save Israel and bring a deliverer to deliver His people out of Israel, out of the desert and the wilderness. When Israel was caught between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, it looked like it was over in the natural sense, but God told Moses to lift up his staff. Think about it. He lifted up his staff and then he parted the Red Sea and all of Israel walked through the Red Sea on the ground, on dry ground. Listen, we serve a God that has power and we have to have faith in His power, not faith in our circumstances, not even faith in our political system, not faith in our constitution, faith in God. We're the church. We're His people. When Hannah couldn't have a child and it looked like it was over in the natural sense, God touched her womb and she gave birth to Samuel, was a prophet. Then not one single word he prophesied ever fell to the ground. He birthed that out of a barren situation when her back was against the wall. Against all hope and hope, she still cried out and God touched her womb and she gave birth to Samuel. When God's government was rejected by Israel and they didn't want Samuel anymore, but a king like everybody else had in the natural sense that looked over, but God had King David on His mind, knowing he had a man after His own heart that would lead His people. When King Saul was chasing David, trying to kill him, it looked like it was over in the natural sense, but God had a change of command in mind. You know what I'm saying? Suddenly, the one that was trying to kill him would kill himself. And then he would touch the heart. God would touch the heart of the people. and said, you need to go over there and talk to David. He needs to be the king. And they came and got him and told him he needed to be king. Just like they came and got Joseph and said, you need to be the one, second one in charge in Pharaoh. Don't try to fulfill in the natural sense what God's going to fulfill by his power. Just don't waver in your faith believing. Yeah, we've made some mistakes. Think about it. Abraham had a couple of them, but he still trusted God through all of that. When Saul of the New Testament was setting out to kill and imprison believers, as he was dragging them out of their homes, it looked like it was over in the natural sense, but God stopped Saul in his tracks. He knocked him off his high horse. He blinded him and said, you'll serve me. And then made the greatest adversary of the church the greatest ally and changed his name to Paul. And he wrote half of the New Testament. Listen, stop operating off what you see. Stop thinking that God lasts as long as your provision or your talent or your idea or your nation or your concept or your feelings, or, you know, he can't move beyond this because your back's against the wall. That's when he does his best work. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's looking for people that believe him, that don't waver in their faith, like our father Abraham did. And when the Roman soldier was nailing Jesus Christ to the cross at the orders of the chief priest, it looked like it was over in the natural sense, but God would raise him up on the third day. And later, think about this, what looked like it was totally over in the natural sense, when he died, that Jesus was going to die. Instead, death, hell, and the grave died. And everybody who was going to die and be totally separated from God were going to live forever in the presence of God, eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's how God does things. He does it by faith in those that believe him by faith. He don't do it in the context. We're working so much in America. We're working so much by what we think and how we measure things and how things have to be. Just believe God. If he said he's going to do it, just begin to walk it out and watch him as you go through the process. Understand he's going to bring it to pass. And with Abraham facing the fact his body was as good as dead and against all hope in the natural sense, when it looked impossible, Abraham, the father of faith, who faced the facts, kept strong in his faith. He didn't waver. He was unwavering in his faith in God's ability to do what he promised he was going to do. Think about it. What did God show Joseph? People said, well, I don't know. I just saw. What do you mean you just saw? Whatever God showed you, that's what he showed you. And you can hold on to what God has said to you. And so, because he believed, he became exactly what he believed that God said he would do. He became exactly what God said he would. The father of Isaac and the father of many nations. And today, all of us who believe, guess what? Abraham is our father. Galatians 3:29. We're saved by faith. We're kept by faith. We're shielded by faith. We're delivered by faith, and we see everything God said he would do in our life come to pass because God's faithful, because he will do exactly what he said to do despite our natural inabilities or abilities. So it's against all natural hope. It's not a bad place to be, that we can have hope derived from our faith in the promises of God, that what he's spoken over our lives will come to pass, despite how the natural circumstances say no. God says yes. He says yes. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God is a spirit, and those that worship him in spirit and truth. Listen, get outside of all these natural things you see and realize that God is holding everything together, and God's waiting for you to have faith in him and trust and stop wavering in your faith and say, you know what, I'm just going to trust God and I'm going to prepare for this coming in my life. And I'm going to trust Him through all. I'm not going to try to figure out all these processes. I'm just going to, through this whole process, I'm going to have hope, not in the natural sense. I'm going to have hope in the spiritual sense, in the unseen things. And understand, this is when God does His best work. I'm going to understand that God gives a man a vision, that He destroys the man. Doesn't destroy the man, but destroys the man's, brings him to the end of his self, even sometimes his own desire. And then He brings forth the vision. God gives a man a vision, Joseph, right? He destroys the man in the context of denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and then He brings forth the vision. Listen, you're not going to bring this to pass. You're going to believe God as He brings it to pass in your life. You're going to be faithful to Him. So on our journey, our journeys with God are personal. Every one of us, don't look at your journey collectively. Understand that you will answer alone before God. It's a personal journey, but they will all end the same. And these are some questions that you'll be asked. Did we love God and love others on our journey while our faith was being tested? Did we love? It's all about love. It's like, you know, it was hard to love when I was rejected by my family. It was hard to love when my brothers wanted to kill me. It was hard to love when they sold me into slavery. It was hard to love when I was accused of a sexual crime and put in prison because they said I raped Potiphar's wife. It was hard to love when the cupbearer forgot me. No, He loved all the way through it, loving God and loving others. That's the question. Don't think so much about outcomes as much as why you're going through the process. Where are you in your love? Are you patient? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is long-suffering. Love keeps no records of wrong, right? Love delights in the truth. And so the question we want to ask ourselves is, where am I in this process in my heart? Am I still loving? Am I willing to forgive those who betray me? Am I willing to say, hold not this sin against them? Though they meant it for evil, God is going to turn it out for my good. Did we love and trust Him when we had things? Did we love and trust Him when we didn't have things? Do we have faith in God when we knew it was impossible for us personally to bring it to pass? Think about it. Did we pass our test of faith? Did we hope in the temporary? Oh, my things, my stuff, my job. Or did we hope in the eternal? Did we waver in our faith? Did we shrink back? Were we able to look at the facts of the impossibilities with men and stay fully persuaded that God was going to and was able to do exactly what He said He was going to do? Against all hope, did we keep our hope in God's faithfulness alive? Against all hope, that's when God does His best work. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for each and every one that are listening right now, Father God. I just believe that you're being stirred in your faith, that you're understanding the process. You're going to begin to look at things totally differently now. I see you, you're going to begin to let some people go that you've been holding in your heart. You know, their sin against them, and you're going to let them go and forgive them. You're going to begin to see, oh Lord, help me to love. Help me to love more in this process. And I just speak right now that I just say, reignite those dreams and the visions that God has given you. See yourself, even in it, despite what's taking place, understand if that's what God showed you, trust God in the process. And against all hope, in hope, believe and so become exactly what He said He would do.
If you haven't yet met Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to Him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to VFNTV.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to VFNTV.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from His Word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that He's called you to. For more information, go to VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.